So I had mentioned on Wednesday that we would endeavor to take two class periods with this next section, purity of body. There's so much that we could say about it, and I want to kind of tap the brakes lightly, that we kind of slow down a little bit and cover it as well as we can. So the purity of body on page 24 in our booklets is where we're going to start this morning. And the first question he asks there, is your body for you or for God? And I really think that's what it comes down to. If we want to purify ourselves as He is pure, then we must recognize then that our body ultimately is for God. And the first paragraph he says, when the cravings of the body dictate a person's behavior, they are in for some foolish, embarrassing, and harmful times. Often the flesh desires things that are very harmful to it. If we cannot learn to rule our bodies, then our bodies will ruin us. And that is so true. It was kind of funny, the little illustration he shared at the beginning there in the grade box of he remembers one of his high school teachers climbing a ladder to the school roof that he could smoke, and someone came and took the ladder away unbeknownst to him, and there he was on the top of the roof, trapped, waving his arms around, hoping someone would see him and get him down. Of course, all of that could have been avoided if he didn't have the addiction to smoking. So when he talks about here about when the cravings of the body dictate a person's behavior, they are in for some foolish, embarrassing, and harmful times, that indeed was true for that man there. So we must learn to rule our bodies, or our bodies will ruin us. So if I was to break down our two class lessons, it would be in this section following here where he says the scriptures give two reasons for the Christian to keep their bodies pure. Number one, the Christian's body is temporary. There's lesson one today. And number two, the Christian's body is God's property. So that'll be, hopefully, Lord willing, our study for Wednesday night. Take your Bible, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And there we see ultimately the very first sin involved the lusts of the flesh. So in Genesis 2, God had given the commandment. It had essentially one, don't eat from a certain tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Well, Satan comes along and he's going to tempt through the very lust of the flesh for Eve to break this commandment. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, now the serpent was more cunning than that of any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So verse 6 says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the future of human destiny was forever changed, right? So she looked, she lusted, she took, she ate. And there we see the first sin committed, done through the impurity of the body. One thing that will help us in our journey of life and our pursuit for heaven is that is to remember that our bodies are given to us temporarily. Our bodies are not meant to live here forever. And we see that through the passing of time. And the Bible constantly tries to remind us of that. Now, before this first sin, they could eat of the tree of life and live forever. But after this sin was committed, death entered into the world. The bodies began to break down and to die. And so we have a very short, limited time with this vessel that God has given to us that ultimately just clothes and houses the soul, right? We often refer to our bodies as ourselves, but the truth is really it's our spirit, our soul that is who we are. It's the inner person. That's why as we laid to rest Richard Sweets last week, we all recognize that Richard is still alive, right? Because Richard wasn't the body. Richard was his soul, his persona, whom God had made. And he went on to the afterlife. So the body is just a temporary vessel. And the scriptures are replete of verses that point us in this direction. So let's turn to 2 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 4. And if I can have someone read those verses for us, please.
2 Corinthians 5,
1 through 4. Yes, sir.
For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may swallow up by life. Now he who has prepared us for the very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee.
All right. Thank you, Thomas. So how does the scripture here describe our bodies, our earthly bodies?
It's a tent. Okay. Tents, people who go camping, it's a temporary place. But if you don't take care of the tent, it gets destroyed. And I thought about that with our body. If we don't, like you were saying, if we don't take care of it, it gets destroyed.
Right, right. Any of y'all went tent camping before?
Yeah. Yeah.
Me too. When we were younger. Now we get a cabin. Because there is a big difference, right, between a tent and a cabin. Would anyone like to live in a tent forever? No. You'd much rather have four walls, what we call a house, right? One is better than the other. So God's word is saying to us that this body is like a tent. And you wouldn't want to live in a tent forever. It's got problems. But what is coming, why, it's like the house, it's like the cabin, it's a building made from God. That's so much better. That's superior. So while we're in this tent, treat it well. It that kind of will dictate how long that tent's going to last, like Liz said. But also recognize that this tent's not the end goal. And so pursue purity so that we might ultimately have this house made by God in the heavens. Verse 2, for in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. So, I was telling Julia the other day, I did a certain kind of workout, and I said, you know, it's not the same when I was a few years younger. it's a little bit harder. You breathe a little bit heavier. You know, you ache a little bit more. Take a little bit longer to recover. You know, and from what I understand from the older folks, that the best is yet to come. You know, so the point is that this body begins to yearn earnestly for something better and stronger and more permanent that doesn't ache or break down. And so we want that habitation that is not here, but in heaven, right? Like that song, "We Have a Habitation." It's a beautiful song, and it's a reminder for us that that's ultimately where we want to go and where we want to grow towards in the Lord Christ Jesus. Any comments about these verses here? Yes, Liz.
I just, at the end of verse 5, it made me think of our meeting with bread.
That's right. We know what that means now, right? Right? What? How is the Spirit our guarantee? Right, right.
You know, it's like the earnest money he was talking about. Like you put down an earnest for a house, and that's you saying that, hey, you're going to be good for it.
Right, right. So his point in that lesson was that if we're seen by the teachings of the Spirit, that we are changing our lives for God, right? We're pursuing purity. We're actually doing the things with our temporary bodies that God wants us to do. Then that is like a guarantee money or the down payment of the future rewards to come. That as God's able to change us here, we can trust that God's going to change us there. And so much better, right? So that's a beautiful thought, right? Because if this tent I'm destroying and breaking down and, you know, living carelessly with, then the Spirit's not taught me that. And I'm going to lose whatever down payment I have on the house that is to come, because I'm not treating this one right. But when the Spirit is changing this one and I'm doing what God had me to do, then it's an assurance. It's a comfort to know, okay, there's something better that God's going to do with me later on. Good. All right, let's read the next verse. 2 Peter chapter 1. If someone read verses 13 through 15.
Yea, I think it be, as long as I am in this tabernacle, stir you up, putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has chosen me. Moreover, I will never let you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance.
Okay. So here's Peter using the same language of Paul, because they ultimately received the message from the Holy Spirit, the same author. And he says that he refers to his body as this tent, or as Thor's version says, a tabernacle. And that he must also put off his tent as Jesus had showed him. Remember how the Lord in John 21 had told Peter, you know, one day they're going to take you where you don't wish and stretch out your hands as you would not like. And this he said, signifying the way in which he was to die. And so Peter knew what was coming on the horizon for him, but he did not fret about it, because he realized that this was not his permanent dwelling. It was just a temporary housing for who he really was within the inner man, right? And then he says in verse 15, that's why his work on earth, which is temporary, is of the utmost importance. I've got a limited amount of time, and I need to make sure that I say the things that you will not forget, that I put them in your remembrance. That teaches us a few things. It teaches us as Christians, because Peter's writing to Christians, that we can become forgetful creatures. That if we are not constantly drinking from the well of the Holy Spirit, the Word of Truth, the bread of life, then we will soon forget. And Peter said, I want to make sure you don't forget. I need to keep putting your remembrance of these things. And so he's taking advantage of the limited time he has, and he wants us to do the exact same thing. But the point of this verse here is to show that Peter even referred to himself as, or his body, I should say, as just a temporary tent. Comments about Peter? Yes, Judy, and then Liz?
I don't have it about Peter, but when we study Ecclesiastes, Solomon says that do not take hold of wicked things and live a wicked life, because you will die before your time. And this is what he wrote in Generics, we know about Proverbs. But he said, wisdom gives strength to the wise man more than 10 rulers. So when he says, take hold of this from what not, withhold not your hand, for he who fears God shall come forth from it. So even if we were living longer, we still, I know we go into the next chapter, we still have to take care of. Don't dread, Steve, getting older.
Don't
listen
with it. Yeah, that's right. The benefits that come.
It's evil things will destroy your body.
Yes.
More than if you're fearing God and trying to live on the earth.
Good,
that's
good.
The wise man was saying way before Paul even.
That's right. Good point. Thank you, Judy. Liz.
If we stop eating, we die. We all understand that physically. So spiritually, I fear sometimes we don't understand that.
Right, right. In the Lord's words, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, is so true in this regards for the food of the Spirit. Good. Anybody else? Okay, so next let's look at John 11. John 11, here's where we see the reality of the temporary nature of life through the death of Lazarus. In John chapter 11 and verse 1 we'll start, but here's what I want us to see is that the Lord is aware of our temporary nature of our body on earth, but also how he has power over life and death. And that if he can raise this body here in this life, then we can only imagine what he's able to do in the life to come, in the resurrection to come. So in John 11, verse 1, now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. And therefore the sister sent him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. See, that's just part of the reality of living in this life, is the body does deal with sicknesses, right? We have sometimes some that are so frequent, we call them seasonal sicknesses, right? Allergies or the seasonal cold and maybe every couple of years the flu, right? Or as this recent pandemic happened with COVID. But we also recognize, too, in these days in which John lived, they didn't necessarily have all the medical advancement that we have today. And so they might refer to things like cancer as a sickness, right? A malady of the body. Just the reality. We all end up getting some kind of sickness. And in time, as we age, the body and its natural immune system that God had given to it begins to slow and to wear down and lose its effectiveness. So in time, a sickness does claim the body. Well, the Bible tells us in verse 5 that Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. So the Lord purposely stayed longer so that the sickness would do its work on the body and ultimately claim the temporary vessel that was housing Lazarus. And so later on, verse 11, these things he said, and after that he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I go that I may wake him up." Well, the disciples didn't understand what sleep he was referring to, right? And the disciples said, "Lord, if he sleeps, he'll get well, right? I mean, that's part of how the body recovers. You know, it shuts itself down so that it can recuperate and repair, give all the energy to that immune system." However, Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about taking rest and sleep. So Jesus said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." Now think about it. How did he know that? Right? I mean, the disciples didn't know that. There was no further messenger that came, "Hey, Lazarus is dead." Right? Jesus knew because he was Lord. That's right. So that reminds us, too, that within our own families and the church and others that we know of, you know, the Lord knows every time an individual draws their last breath. And in essence, he's there with them, right? He is aware of it. And they are not alone. But the Lord is going to show that he has power over this temporary dwelling. He can bring again the spirit, whom is Lazarus, back to that body, even after it's been dead for a few days. And so he travels there, and of course the very famous meeting between him and Mary and Martha, and the sadness that he sees within their eyes, and that he is sad because they are sad, and the Lord weeps at this. The Bible tells us there, and fast forwarding now to verse 39, Jesus said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "The Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he's been dead for 4 days." All right, so this just recognizes the reality of the temporary nature of our flesh, right? It's decomposing while we still yet live, right? Breaking down, the cells dividing. They do not form as strongly, as tight a knit as they did when we were younger. But especially so when the heart stops pumping the blood and circulating that life force. Remember the Lord said that the blood, the life is in the blood, right? So when it stops, things begin to break down even faster. The body begins to decay and to rot because it's just a temporary tent, right? The house begins to break down and crumble. Well, the Lord said in verse 40, "Did I not say to you that you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you've heard me, and I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." So instantly that flesh is restored. The heart begins to beat again, circulating the blood. Life has returned back to the flesh because the Lord had returned the spirit of Lazarus back to the flesh. Remember, the body without the spirit is dead, James says. So then this body with the spirit is alive. And Lazarus came forth. So Jesus has shown us that he has that ability to resurrect this physical body, right? And it's proof of everything he said is a guarantee, right? That he's going to give us an eternal resurrected body, a spiritual body, because he has that power. And that's the body that ultimately is the most important one, right? Because what happens to Lazarus again after he's been raised from the dead? Does he live forever? How many years do you think he got? It's speculation, right? Wouldn't that be fascinating? Scripture never tells us what Lazarus retold of what he saw, what it was like. But if it's anything like the Scripture tells us, he probably was ready to go back. And that temporary house that he had, if it lasted a year, 3 years, or 6 months, he probably would have been glad it was less. Because he knew what was there. He knew what awaited him. But he also knew what the Lord was trying to do and display to his disciples and others that heard as well. It's an amazing thought to think, right? And it really puts in perspective, again, what it is that our goals are in this life. What are we really shooting for? What is our pursuit with this body that God has given us? Comments about Lazarus? Yes, Mother?
Reminds me of a cicada. I have a shell that I got for Tanner to look at. But the whole idea is this, that the outer body is there, but the cicada came out with wings to fly away. So much ourselves too, our body is like a cicada shell.
Mm.
And our spirit will fly away.
Right, right. Very good. Good illustration, Mom. Let's look at Romans chapter 8 now. Romans 8. You see, this was one of the things that was such an encouragement to Christians, right? It's still an encouragement to Christians today, especially those that go through hard living. You know, the Philippines, different places that they don't have very much. They're looking for a better life to come. Sadly, in America, a lot of folks think that, you know, heaven's here on earth, you know. They're living a better life now than they think that will be coming. But not those that have a hard life in this life, right? And it ought to be an encouragement to us and a reminder to us that whatever difficulties we go through, that there is something better awaiting us. In Romans chapter 8, Let's read verses 18 through 23. 18 through 23. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Now, some interpret this creation to refer to the world in essence. That it's involving the trees and the mountains and the birds and everything that, you know, is struggling in this nature. Which honestly doesn't make much sense to me personally. I think that the Lord can use the word creation or creature to refer to humans. Right, the Lord did that in the Great Commission. Right, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right? He wasn't talking to your pet dog or to the birds in the air. Right, he's talking about humans, human creatures. And so, it is human creation that has the ability to rationalize, conceptualize, and to understand their environment. To think even about their thinking. Right? Animals cannot possess that ability. And this creation, human creation, made by God, recognizes that it's subjected to futility. Death is on every hand. We have cemeteries set apart in every community across this globe. And those stand as memorials to those that have passed on. We recognize death is coming. We are subjected to futility. There are not animal graveyards, right? And so the human creation recognizes life is short and can ask the questions. What comes next? Well, the the human creation that is of God, that is the Christian, we've been given that answer. And we yearn for it. And even the human creation that is not of God, that are not Christians, as they break down, they see loved ones die, they also will yearn for something to come as well, though they not know what that is. And I think that's what Romans 8 is getting at here. Verse 21, because the creation itself will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Everybody's going to be transformed one day. Everybody's going to shed their temporary tents. Everybody's going to be given a spiritual body that is indestructible. But not everybody's going to spend the same place in the same eternity in the same place with that indestructible body, right? The Bible, verse 22 says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains until now. Not only that, we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, that's that guarantee we're talking about, right? God's changing me now. I can only imagine what He's going to change me there. Those who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are saved in this hope. See, that was Lazarus. He says, I got a glimpse of what's to come. I want to go back, right? This creation, this human tent, it eagerly awaits the adoption, the redemption of our body. God, will you please buy this one back and give me something greater? The body is temporary. And so how we use this tent then is of vital importance to God, and ultimately going to also dictate where our next body will spend its eternity. Was it this body, this tent, set apart, which is the idea of purity and holiness, right? Was it set apart for God? Well, then it will live with God. Or was it set apart for our own lusts, our own desires? Well, then we live this life apart from God. We will live eternity apart from God as well. So we've got more verses we want to look at, but first, comments. Yes, Judy. Good points. That's right. It's been made by God. We're made in God's image. So how will we treat the image of God?
But when the body is just laying there, he said, it's just a body. There's no spirit. And then you realize what the body is.
Right. Right. That's right. Exactly. So a lot of these scriptures here, you have Job 13, Job 14, 1 Peter 1, Isaiah 40, and Psalm 90. They pretty much are the same scripture. Because you know what it refers to there to illustrate the temporary nature of the body is grass. Right? Grass. That was a favorite illustration of God. Because every culture and every nation, every place on this planet has some grass somewhere. And we all recognize that it's very seasonal, right? Grows during the summer and that rain season, and then begins to die towards the fall and to the winter. As I said last week in the lesson Sunday nights, there in Psalm 90, verses 5 through 6, you know, he talks about the life cycle of the grass: sown, mown, grown, then blown. Right? It just, that's how quick it is. It's how fast it is. So these all reiterate what we have been talking about. And we can consider what could happen today or tomorrow, right? We could die today. We really don't know how long we have. Or tomorrow. Or the Lord could return today or tomorrow, right? Or even if we have a long life, eventually, the end comes, right? I mean, even Adam, who, what, lived 930 years, eventually he died. It's all temporary. So we have to remember that. Now, on page 26, there at the top, he says, at this stage of life, there's a lot of curiosity and pressure to try forbidden substances and activities. However, allowing such things to take hold on your body will ruin your life and potentially bring you to an early grave. Then you'll have to explain to God why you're standing before Him so soon. That's a very poignant way to put it, isn't it? See, an already temporary life can be made even shorter. And the truth is, Scripture reveals that God really wants us to strive to live a long, productive, spiritual life with the time He's given us on earth, right? Let's look at some scriptures about this. Yes, life is short. Yes, life is temporary. But God wants us to maximize that temporary time with as much time as possible. So in Ephesians chapter 6, there in verse 3, as he's giving instructions to the children to obey their parents, he says, verse 3, that it may be well with you and live long on the earth. Now, why would God say that unless he really wanted us to try and live long on the earth? That's a blessing by God, and he wants us to have it. In 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, there and verse 10. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. So use that temporary vessel for good. Seek it, right? If you love life and you want to have good days and a long life, you know, then this is what you ought to do. So again, God desires for us to try and live as long as we can, to maximize those years, to do everything in our power to lengthen those years. Now, 1 Kings 19, verse 4, Jonah 1, verse 12, and verses 4 and 3, or chapter 4 and 3, and then all those Job verses there. What you have there are individuals, godly individuals, that all said, that's it, God. I don't want to live anymore. Just take my life. It'd be better if I was dead. Job actually said, even better if I'd never been born. Right? I wish I came out of my mother's womb stillborn. And God ultimately answered all of them no. Right? My intention for you is to have a long life and to fulfill that life. Now, as we mentioned about Proverbs, it's you know, these are axioms, right? Not everybody gets that. Some lives are cut short. But the reason why we have the phrase cut short is because we recognize that it wasn't ultimately the length of true days that it should be for one. It was cut short. God's goal is we have a long life. Now look there in Job 42. Let's look at that last reference there. Job 42. So, Job had wished he had never been born, right? Because now, when he wished that, he was going through some unimaginable personal tragedy, wasn't he? He was suffering terribly. And I'm not even talking about his suffering in the flesh, right? Just emotionally and spiritually, because so much had been robbed from him, his family taken from him. And his wife mocking him in some sense to just curse God and die. And then his friends not being friendly to him and helping him. And yet Job came through all of that. He wished he hadn't been born, but he came through all of that. And then the Bible says this at the end, Job 42, verse 16. After this, Job lived 140 years. And saw his children and grandchildren for four generations. So Job died old and full of days. That ultimately was God's intention for Job, right? To have a long life, a long spiritual productive life. And he did have that in God. In fact, a book was written about Job. So, this temporary life can be made shorter. And God wants us to strive to live a long and productive spiritual life. Why is it wrong then to shorten an already short lifetime? We're almost out of time, so we're going to have to end pretty soon. Knowing all this, then why would it be wrong to shorten an already short lifetime? Okay, that's right. We're going against God's plan for us. Just plain and simple. That reference in Daniel 5:24, Daniel says that God who holds your breath within His hand. And we try and shorten it. We're trying to say, I'm going to take that from you. And we're going to talk about next, on Wednesday, about ways that we can shorten that life. Right? And yes, it could be through substances, but it can also be just through depression, right? Just losing a desire to live. And God is saying, don't do that, right? This is in my control. Don't try and take it from it. I've got Judy and then Liz and then we'll be done. Great points, yeah. Living life on the edge, reckless without wisdom, can shorten one's life. Yes?
I was just going to say real quick, it shows the lack of trust and faith in God in this
kind of world. Right. Shows a lack of trust and faith in God. And doesn't mean we won't have low moments, as we saw there Elijah and Jonah and Job did. But ultimately, God does not want us to perish in such moments, but bring us out of them with His help. Thank you, Gal, for a good study this morning. We will stop there at this time. Class dismissed. Hey, TJ, how are you doing, buddy? Doing good. Any announcements this morning? Eddie Bill? Angels? You're right.
When I was getting out of the car, Amanda and TJ were like, I'm like, no, we didn't.
I totally forgot, yes. I'm glad they did, because I forgot. I'll need to apologize to her. Karen, any announcements for me today? Nope. Feeling a little better, a little more rested?
Yeah, I was pretty good sleep last night.
Good, good. So we don't take that for granted anymore, do we?
I actually slept in 2 whole hours.
What? That was a good rest.
I woke up at 5:30.
Wow, that's good.
I was like, whoa.
It really gives you a little extra energy boost, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, good for you. Brandy, you got any announcements? Oh, yes, thanks for reminding me. Thank you. Yes. Mary Ruth Patrick.
What happened?
She's going to be dying soon.
She's been sick with me. What is it?
Wow. Miss Natalie, I am so sorry. I so forgot.
I knew you did.
And even when they walked in with you, even when TJ and Brandy, or TJ and Amanda, when they walked in with you, I still didn't remember I was supposed to get you.
Well, you really did forget.
Completely. I'm so sorry. I won't tonight. You forgive me?
I still will.
Thank you.
I forget things too.
Oh, man. Yeah. Guess that's the age going, right? You doing okay?
Yep.
Yeah? How's the arm feeling?
It's better.
Healed up? Closed wound?
One place it still bleeds a little.
Still a little bit okay.
But it looks much better.
Good.
It looks awful just to look at it.
How did the eye shots go?
Fine. It didn't hurt as much as usual.
Oh, good. All right. So you can see me clearly again?
Yeah.
Good. Sorry again. I'm so sorry. You have any announcements, Kevin? Nope. Oh, good to see you. Any announcements, y'all?
Other than us leaving.
This is the week, huh?
This is the week.
Okay.
Tuesday.
The
3 weeks. I'll still be here. Rich and Sarah.
Okay, you have to. They will stay. Okay, so Marie, Judy, and Adrian.
Yeah.
Okay. Huh? What'd you say?
You don't have to smile so big.
Oh.
<I'm> leaving. Don't worry, you'll get used to
it. I just didn't hear her. Yes, all right. 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Well, have fun, but be safe. Come back.
If we could also mention, she brought up one of our friends in Washington, her name is Jessica Brink. Once ahead. Yeah, one, she was once Jessica Head. She's been pregnant for the fourth time.
But Jessica Head. Oh, that's yeah. Dan's daughter.
But she's a Brinkie now. Pregnant for the fourth time. Her body, whatever the condition is, she's basically allergic to pregnancy. Her body didn't like the pregnancy, so she was very, very sick. She was doing better, now she's doing worse. She's hospitalized.
Ooh.
She has to go into the hospital for, and get IVs for dehydration. It basically, she could potentially all the time lose the baby, but it could take her. It's bad.
Wow. So,
she's nearing the third trimester, but it's still very dangerous. She's having a hard time. Every pregnancy has been like that.
Okay.
And they have 3 other kids, so
somebody's like opening prayer and scripture reading. Just then it's not here. And then also somebody from closing prayer.
Okay, I didn't realize. Does she have any kids?
She has 3 kids.
So this is the fourth one, but the first 3 were the same? Or so she's always had this.
And everybody from church take turns helping bring food and take care of the babies, but they actually pooled money to hire a nanny for the kids.
Oh, that was nice for them to do that. Wow. Okay. Alrighty. We will pray for her. Thor, would you like to do the opening prayer and scripture reading today?
Sure.
Looks like Tim's out of town. You just pick your favorite scripture. So that first is the prayer, and then the second time will be the scripture reading. Thanks, Thor. Yes, Mom.
Would you invite her for lunch today at supper?
If you'd like to, you can. Yeah.
I mean, okay.
Oh, there's Tim just walked in, Thor.
Okay.
You want to do the closing prayer, though? How about that? Okay. Hey, there you are, Tim. I had just crossed your name out, but you're here.
All right.
Are you okay to do the opening prayer and scripture reading?
I'm not real bad.
Oh, okay. Never mind, Thor. You're back on. he's not feeling so good.
That's why I'm live late. I just...
Tim, Thor, yeah. Tim, Thor. Cross,
okay,
cross.
There we go. If you don't mind.
We got you, man. Y'all have any announcements? Any announcements?
No.
Okay.
When I was driving, I was in this big curve.
Any announcements, guys? All right. Good to see you.
We think we know who may have left the can of soup out.
Oh, really? Is a homeless guy?
Bless your heart.
What? Why would they do that?
Just tired.
Why would she do that?
She was up here taking pictures.
I don't think you want to read this.
No.
You don't really want to read
this. Oh, it's Facebook kind of thing?
It's a little boat this morning.
That does sound weird.
And it's something that shouldn't be.
And it's in front of a church building?
No.
Oh.
Yeah, it was right by the bridge. You could tell it was
the bridge.
You could tell it was our spot.
I guess our guides are left.
Yeah, this is like the third or fourth time.
Yeah. Did you forget somebody?
Yes, I told her. I said even as I saw her, you know, Natalie walk in with you guys, I still didn't even remember it was my turn. I didn't remember until Julie told me.
Because he said, "We gotta get down." I said, "No, Steve's gonna be here today." And then we saw you getting out the van. I said,
"Yeah."
Yeah, I told her I'll get her tonight. I will not forget tonight.
Was she ready? Oh, do you have down there?
Yeah.
Adrian Marie.
Yes. 3 weeks.
Tuesday. So Sarah and I have to fend for ourselves.
Yeah, you guys, will you survive? Hey, let me get you to do a closing prayer, okay?
You are on the table.
All right, let me get TJ Gomer to do closing prayer.
I don't mind.
That's all right. I'll spread it out. Spread the wealth. You do closing prayer, TJ?
Yeah.
TJ Gomer. Okay. TJ Gomer. Okay. And I even got Jessica Bricky down, too, because I heard about her rough pregnancy going on right now. Concerned, yes. Sounds concerning.
She still has about 3 or 4 months left.
Well, they said she's in third trimester, so yeah, probably a couple, three months or so. Yeah.
Oh, she's in third already?
That's what they're saying, yeah. That's what they're saying, maybe just started.
Okay. But yeah, it's been real rough.
Yeah, it's scary. Well, you guys gonna be okay while your family's gone?
Oh, yeah.
Be partying like it's 1999, right? That's right. Freedom!
The police are at Brooks' house.
That's right.
You know,
Noise control.
It's kind of nice to have a quiet. For a day or two, and then now what? But I'm working my imitation.
Maybe Thor will be coming over some, you know, hanging out.
Working my imitation. Wednesday, and then go to work, whatever.
Be good to go. Morning, Gretchen. You got any announcements for me?
My kids are out of town with my grandparents.
Okay.
My grandparents, their grandparents, my parents.
Kids out of town, so all alone. Well,
it was the last weekend, you know, before that we had free that they could go before school starts.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Take advantage of it while you can.
Yeah. How are you?
Good.
Got the lawn mowed yesterday?
Well, we should have mowed the lawn yesterday.
Yeah. Did it start raining?
It was a minute.
We mow in the rain.
Yeah.
It was
Doesn't slow you down, huh? Jonathan! Hey, man, how are you?
I took care of that. I've got trim. That my yard is not that big. It's an hour and a half out there. We're doing all the trimming.
Wow.
What's the equipment? Mowing, and having to go back and blow, and, you know, do this stuff. And,
takes time, yeah. Does take time.
Gets you out of the house for a little bit.
You know, this rain, though, it just...
Yeah, it's the crabgrass. It's been kind of been sitting there, and once it finally got water, it's... Oh, so, yeah, it's I went to my house as well. We mowed 2 days ago, and that crabgrass is that tall.
Just that fast, yeah.
Just those little spots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it always sticks out glaringly.
Yeah, and everything else is crisp.
Yep. Hey, Miss Betty, good to see you.
You heard of Black Ops?
Lori, good to see you this morning. How are you doing?
Good.
Good.
Lori.